What's up, everybody? It's your boy Blue. It's another episode of Blue Dope. And on today's episode, I have someone that you may have gotten familiar with from her natural hair journey. But now you follow her for all the beauty tips. You buy her clothing from her because she dresses that dope, right? She's also a 106 and Park alumni. I did my homework, right? And you're probably the first guest that I'm going to have that's probably representing Staten Island a little bit, too.
Yeah.
I got none other than Ty Loren in the building. What's up, Ty?
Hi. How are you?
I'm good.
And you said my name right. So
how do people mess that up? What they call you?
Oh, nah. Myra, Tyler, Taylor, Lauren.
Okay.
Everything under the sun except for my actual name.
Wow.
Yes.
And it's a simple name.
Yeah, it's literally Tyla. And then my middle name is Loren, so I put it together. Ty Loren.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're not born in Staten Island, right?
No, I'm not. I was born in the Lower East Side and
LES.
Then raised in Staten Island. And now I live in Jersey.
Okay. Yeah. So, LES, what was that like for you? And how long were you even there?
I want to say probably just 5 years. So, it was very, very little bit, minimal. But my parents were born and raised there. So was my brother. So, it's a lot of my family is still there. So, it's it plays a very heavy role in my whole family.
Nice, nice. I mean, LES is it's an interesting part of town,
definitely,
to say the least.
Definitely. Especially when I live there and then compared to what it is now, it's a completely different place. Well, New York in general, I feel like it's a completely different place.
Extremely true.
Yes.
So, I mean, probably the salon and stuff that maybe your mom used to go to might be like a Connecticut muffin or something like
that.
Exactly. Probably.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. That's exactly what she says. All her favorite bagel spots. They're literally an apartment building now. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. Staten Island, though, that's an interesting journey.
Definitely. Sometimes I don't even really like to talk about it because
really?
I feel like it. I can say my group of friends were very different from that Staten Island norm that people run with.
Got it.
So we're all mixed. All of us are, have different types of backgrounds and we're all creatives. So I think that's just a big deal because you kind of have, I'm sure you've seen the memes of what Staten Island is.
Yeah.
And we're the complete opposite. So I don't really relate to it as much as people would think. You definitely can hear it through my accent, but that's about it.
I mean, that's a forced thing. When you are your surroundings. Is at the end of the day to a certain degree. Where's your family from? Generationally, your parents?
So my mom is Puerto Rican and Irish, and my dad is Cuban and Black and Puerto Rican as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you got a real, real mix going on there.
Yes. And I'm sure there's other things, but that's how we like to keep it simple and short because my parents aren't very into the history. They're this is what we were given. So we're giving you your Spanish, Black and white.
What was that like being in Staten Island, though? Because, I mean, it's heavily Italian from what we see on TV and what we hear about, like you mentioned, the memes.
Yes. All I can say is identity crisis.
Wow.
Definitely. And just being transparent, I went to a predominantly Caucasian, elementary school. And I think that's kind of, where you start to... I know you're young, but I feel like you take a lot from that.
Yep.
So then going to, a more mixed... middle school and high school was a little different for me because I was around people finally that looked like me.
Yeah.
So I definitely can say an identity crisis was very heavy.
What did your parents do at home to kind of keep you grounded to your actual heritage?
Honestly, I want to say they were struggling as well.
Wow.
But my parents are very strict and traditional. So it was I was definitely raised differently compared to the people I was going to school with. So that was number one. I would go to these people's houses and it would just be real scary. Just the way they spoke to their parents. That was not happening at my house.
You might have got smacked out if you...
Immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately. Friends were going home. Even having company over was a big deal, These kids could have sleepovers, could be disrespectful. None of that flew in my house. So it was a culture shock to even see how people were compared to how my family is.
It's funny because I'm a dad now and people don't understand that I'm not with the sleepovers and stuff.
Yeah,
my
no.
kids staying right here.
Not in this day and age.
Yeah, exactly.
No way.
Yeah. So, so even then you experienced that in a neighborhood where it was a little different vibe.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, after high school, did you try to shoot out of there as fast as you could?
So, I want to say I wanted to, but what held me back was my love for fashion. I wanted to go to a fashion-focused college, and the best place to be was New York City.
Yeah.
So as much as I wanted to be away and get away from my parents, my dreams of, working in fashion and entertainment was, keeping me there. So I got accepted to Laboratory Institute of Merchandising.
Okay.
I fell in love with visual merchandising, and I was I want to do, creative creative directing, buying, like I want to be heavy into fashion and this is the perfect place for it.
Wow.
So I stayed there for 2 years and then got sick of fashion. I was like, this is not somewhere I want to work. It's just like very cruel. And then I transferred. I went to Rhode Island, Johnson & Wales University, and I studied entertainment management and sports management.
Your pops was in entertainment too, right?
He is, yes.
So what does he do?
So my dad's kind of all over the place. Okay. He is a man of many talents. He does boxing. He does stage managing within like music. He's worked for HBO, Showtime, Maury. He recently was with Maury, Jerry Springer. He works heavily with Al Heyman. So he's like just about everywhere.
Did he used to take you around when you were little?
Yes, definitely. All the boxing matches, nice. Like heavy into like the music space.
Nice.
So it was really cool to see.
What were, I'm gonna ask, boxing wise, music wise, what were the dopest things you saw with him when you were growing up?
Probably being able to be ringside and be so young and just be able to see that, like what people watch on TV at like 5 years old, and also seeing how good he was at his job.
Okay.
So like I get my work ethic definitely from my dad. So like just seeing that like definitely played a huge impact on like what I wanted to do with work.
So I mean, at an early age, at 5 years old, were you like, I'm gonna be like, Dad, I'm doing that job?
Probably, but I feel like it's more like I love like talking to people, and I think I saw him do that so well that I was like, I want people to listen to me.
Okay.
And I want people to like, you know, look up to me and like really be like, wow, like she can command attention and like she can command attention in a room. And I saw that my dad was doing that.
Nice.
And I was like, it was super inspiring. And I was like, I want to do that. Like, I want to be that person who's like inspiring others to like do better at their job.
Nice.
Yeah.
So Rhode Island.
Yes.
From Staten Island.
Yep.
To Rhode Island. Just the boonies all the time.
Basically.
What was Rhode Island like?
It was interesting. It was very interesting. Definitely not what I was used to, because I was, you know, like my weeks were, I went to school from 7 a.m. to like 8 p.m. And then on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I worked three different jobs. So I was nonstop when I was in New York.
You were hustling.
And I was like, this is not the life I want to live. So when I went to Rhode Island, it was like, they told me I only could take 4 classes. I was like, this is perfect. I'm like, well, I'll take 4 classes. I just came from taking 8 classes and working 3 jobs. I was like, it's time for me to...
8 classes a term? You're wildin'.
I know, I definitely was. But the way the school was like set up was like, you were guaranteed to get placement in a job in the fashion industry.
God,
so like everyone I went to school with now is like way ahead of everyone in their career.
Wow.
So I was like, I'm going to do this because I want to be placed in my dream career by the time I'm a junior.
Wow.
And you see these girls do it and they're like doing so well for themselves now. So I was like, I had that New York mentality, of course. But when I came to Rhode Island, I was like, I could breathe and also learn about what I wanted to learn about. I'm like, and I didn't have to really work for like the first year. And then I was like, okay, I'm poor. I got to go get a job in the mall or something. So it was definitely a complete shift, but I think I needed that break. Like I owed myself like enjoy college.
Yes.
Like you don't have to be working 3 jobs right while you're going to school trying to make a decent GPA. So I was like, I need this.
Yeah.
I'm definitely napping. Like I'm catching up on all the naps. Yeah. So it was nice, but it was weird. It was weird.
What exactly did you want to do in the fashion industry at the time?
I wanted to do visual merchandising. So I was, I'm obsessed with like the story of a store or like where like clothing can take you. So like when you walk past Zara and you're like, oh my God, like, yes, I want this outfit, but the way it's displayed is making me want to wear it on this like vacation that I have planned or this first day of work or this date that I'm going on, you know? So it's like that story of why people wear their clothes and how they wear it and how they're presented. And then I was like, oh, I want to do creative directing. Oh, I want to do buying. I wanted to do just about everything.
Yeah.
Anything that was creative and fashion, like I wanted to be a part of it.
Yeah.
So when I left Laboratory Institute of Merchandising, I was like, I also love entertainment.
Okay.
So maybe I can kind of have and do both. And that's what I kind of doubt. And I also wanted to do sports management because I swore that I was going to be like planning the Super Bowl and the All-Star game.
What did you think about Rihanna floating up in the sky? Prego.
I am not the number one Rihanna fan.
Okay.
So I thought it was cool. You know, I think that if you can do anything pregnant, anything close to that, you're a superhuman. And that's what women are.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean. You know,
yeah.
Like, I wasn't like, this is the best performance ever. But I was like, I give this woman so much credit for even saying yes and coming out there and standing and dancing and singing, because it wouldn't be me.
So out of all the Super Bowl performances ever, since you wanted to do a Super Bowl, like, who had the best one?
I don't even know.
I'm going Michael Jackson. I mean, it was classic. It was the first.
I wish,
like,
I could remember
one.
That.
I, you know what? YouTube, though.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
YouTube. They got it on YouTube.
Maybe I need to brush up on, like, my Super Bowl performances, because, like, not a huge football fan. Like,
but you wanted a Super Bowl.
No, yeah. It's just the idea of a large scale event that brings so many people together. So to, like, connect to this, I went to the All-Star weekend back when it was in Houston. Nice. My dad took me and my cousin, and that was like my first experience of a huge event. And I was like, this is what I want to do with my job. This is what I want to do with my career. I want to plan this.
But again, you ain't like sports.
No.
So there's no favorite players, nothing.
So like with basketball, that's the only one that I'll tolerate. Do I watch it on a regular basis? No. Can I, like, will I go to a game? Absolutely.
Favorite basketball player?
Definitely don't have one.
you go to eat at the games.
Yeah,
you get up to,
like,
watch and chill. It's a vibe.
It's just entertaining. Yeah, it's just entertaining and, like, fun to be at.
Okay.
But no, there's no team I'm following, and there's nothing that I'm looking forward to. But just the fact of, like, being at the All-Star weekend at, like, I think it was like in the eighth grade, was the most incredible experience ever.
Yeah. Now, you was doing it big since you were young.
It was kind of crazy. I don't want to say that, but I do want to say that, like, my dad made sure that we were able to experience things that, like, would really kind of help us figure out what we wanted to do. And I think that was a huge, huge event in my life that I was like, oh my God, this is incredible. Like, I want people to come to an event that I planned to this magnitude. And, like, it's such a big deal.
The other aspect of that, again, me being a dad, like, I got a little girls. I got two little girls. And for me, I always look at it as the more I can do for them and show them, they won't get impressed by other people later on.
Exactly.
Right? So no one could just come. Yeah. Like,
absolutely.
No, like, you've been to the All-Star game when you was a kid. Like, that's not a treat going out for the weekend to that.
Exactly.
So.
Sorry.
The Super Bowl piece, you didn't really jump into that because you kind of, you had an experience that kind of changed your mind about event planning.
I had to plan a wedding while I was in at school. I was, like, in, like, an actual event course, and I had to plan a concert and I had to plan a wedding, and I hated both.
Wow.
I hated both, and I was like, I'm not going to be an event planner. This is not happening.
Was it just a whack wedding or a whack concert?
It was definitely a whack wedding. The people in Rhode Island are very different from the people in New York, so they definitely wanted the dustiest of the dusty, and I was just like, oh, let's do this, and they were like,
Out of budget.
I'm like, oh, not even out of budget, because I was, like, following the budget. They were just like, this is too fancy.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, okay. When she told me there was people wearing shorts to her wedding, I was like, I give up.
Yeah, yeah, this is not.
So I was just like, this isn't for me. And I don't really do well with people saying, like, that idea is not going to work.
Yeah,
so I was just like, I don't think event planning is for me.
Got it.
Yeah. So that shifted.
So now it sounds like you probably couldn't wait to run back out of Rhode Island, I'm going to imagine.
So crazy is Rhode Island was definitely the best years of my life, but I think because of the people I met and the lifestyle change, it was much slower, and I've never experienced that. I've never even seen people live slow lives.
True.
Because everyone's surrounded by, like, I'm surrounded by only people who live fast lives.
Yeah.
So it's like, wow, like, you could actually, like, chill. Like, you could live your life and chill, and I didn't know that. So I was just like, am I living my life and actually, like, relaxing and working in a mall, making, like, decent money? I was like, this is cool-ish. And then I graduated and was like, I gotta go back home, because I'm never gonna be able to, like, make the money I want and live my dreams living in Rhode Island.
And paying them student loans.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Forget
auntie
about
Annie's.
It. No. No. It was like, no.
So what was the first quote-unquote real job that you had right after that?
I worked at BET.
There you go.
And that was an incredible experience.
Yeah.
I learned so much about myself, the industry, because it was like first day, you know, you're, you know, holding a rapper because they're about to go, they're about to do an interview and they are intoxicated and I'm an intern and I'm holding up a rapper and I'm like, this is, I don't know if this is what I want to do, but we're going to do it. We're going to see how it is. It was very fast and I met a lot of people and I learned a lot about myself and I saw, like, the type of things that my dad was doing and telling me about. And it was just like something I'll never forget. Something I'll never forget.
What musically, were those even the genres that you like?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so
I listen to everything.
So who are your favorite artists?
Right now, I am a diehard Kate Trinata fan. Like, love him. He's amazing. Always loved him. Yeah. Not that everybody likes him now. Now he's becoming popular.
Got
like,
it.
No.
Yeah, I hate when that happens.
Yeah. Kate Trinata's number one. I'm a huge Coldplay fan.
Okay.
They're incredible. Love Drake, obviously. Like, you can't not.
What's funny is that I didn't know how much I love Drake. And then, you know, at Spotify wrap up at the end of the year, I was in like the top 3% of listeners. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
So I didn't even realize it.
Mm-hmm. He always seems to become number one. Yeah, but yes. Yeah. So those are like my top three, like favorite ever. But I'll listen to everything.
Got it.
Yeah. Like, so, I will listen to everything.
So 106 at Park, it probably had a cool element a little bit, kind of.
Yes.
Okay.
It was just such a crazy thing to experience fresh out of college.
Yeah.
You know, like that being like my first, because I was an intern and then I worked there.
Okay.
So doing the internship, I was basically the same job because like, it's just fast. It's like, and then like seeing like, you know, how people actually are in the industry. It's like, yeah, you start work at 9, but no one comes in until 12. And I'm just sitting there with my hands folded at like 8:50 waiting for someone to come in. And I'm like, wow, like,
and you were taking the ferry in.
I was taking anything. I was taking the ferry, the express bus, because I came from Staten Island. Yep, so it was always a mystery of like getting in on time. But yes, I would never take it back though, because I just learned so much like so fast. And I think like that in person with like celebrities, like people think it's like the most amazing experience ever. It is. It will shake you up.
Real people.
It will shake you up because these people don't care about your age. They don't care if you're a girl, a boy, how old you are. They don't care about anything. Mm. So it's just like seeing that really made me, because I was like, oh my God, I want to be on TV. I wanted to work behind the scenes, like seeing what my dad did. Like, I was like, this is for me. I left that job and I was like, this is not for me.
Did you have any like super disturbing interactions where you're just like, yo?
I'm Anna, a transgender woman.
And I'm Cam, your dad.
And this is The Transgenda.
Join Anna as she chronicles her transition, and Cam as he learns how to be a supportive parent.
This podcast is about embracing differences and finding common ground.
It's a roller coaster of emotions, laughter, and genuine connection.
Tune in to new episodes of The Transgenda bi-weekly. Subscribe and listen to The Transgenda on your favorite podcast platform.
Love you all, except the bigots.
Yeah, when I had to go buy underwear for celebrities or sew someone into their skirt.
That would be on their list? Like, y'all need...
No. They would come and they would have... She had no underwear. She was like, I need you to go buy me underwear. I was like, okay, cool. People that don't shower and you need to, you know, like, tell them to. Wow. Because they're about to get on national television and they're about to work with... No, it wasn't a host. It was a guest. That was like a guest host.
Okay.
Yes. So they came and like... They're excited. They're like, oh, well, they think they're like important because they're hosting now.
Yeah.
And, you know, that they'll come straight from, you know, their flight. No shower, was partying, wasted.
Wow.
Have to like get them dressed and like make sure they look, you know, the part.
Not
like,
necessarily a private jet either.
It was like you hear these stories, but like to be the person involved in the story, like getting the chicken fingers and feeding them. Like people think I'm like, it is. And then of course I'm the flunky. I'm the young intern. I'm going to do it.
Mustard on that, please.
Yeah. And it's like, and then like them venting to you. There's so many things that happened to me like at that job that I look back at and I'm just like, I can't believe that was my life. But I'm so glad that it was, because I learned so much about
that. That's why I wanted to dig a little bit. I wanted to hear about the chicken fingers.
Yeah, it was just, it was intense. Like it was, like I said, you see these things on TV, you hear all these cliches, but like these people really are like, I'm the best, you are shit, and you are going to do these things because you kind of have to, and you're making $13 an hour. So I'm just like, yeah, I'm going to get your Starbucks. Yeah, I'm going to feed you some chicken fingers. Yeah, I'm going to let you vent about the person you were with last night. Like, yeah, I'm going to iron your clothes that literally smell like shit. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Nah, so it was intense, but
kind of trash.
Yeah, no, it was. And, you know, I'm going to do it because I'm just that person. Like any job I get, I'm going to give 110%.
That's what's up, though.
Nobody's ever going to say that I didn't do my best, because I don't care what you're asking me to do. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it perfectly. And that's what I did. And I learned so much. And it definitely like helped me in the career that I'm in now.
Yes.
Because I know exactly how shitty people are. And I will never be that person.
Nice.
Yeah, I would never.
So, I mean, good segue. You get to the point where you start doing little videos here and there, and then people start realizing people like this.
Yeah.
What was that start like for you, and what was your initial objective when you started even showcasing your natural hair journey?
Starting in 2015, which is crazy to say, it was so long ago, and the space was nothing like it was now. Yeah. So I have had curly hair forever, but I never really embraced it until after college. And I was going through my natural hair journey. And for anyone that doesn't know what that is, it is a very emotional time in like a woman of color's life. Yeah. And like when I talk about it, it's just crazy to think and to see like so many women like kind of finding themselves through it now, because back then nobody wanted curly hair. Mm-hmm. I know it was only 2015, but that was when it was just starting out, when people wanted to go natural. So I had no idea what to do with my hair. It was burnt. I dyed it. It was blonde. It was looked crazy. And I was honestly looking for community. You know, okay. It was only literally me and my best friend that had curly hair, and wow. We were both struggling. Wow. And both of like our situations were like, we want to take care of it and we want to learn, but like we don't have anybody to go to because nobody else wants to go natural.
Yeah.
So we kind of taught ourselves. I started posting on Instagram, just looking for community, because I'd never really had a big group of women like friend wise.
Okay.
So I started posting and I was just like, are you guys using this? Like, and this is when Instagram like had just started coming out.
So it
was
you could like, do hashtags and people actually see it.
Yes. And then like, I was literally using Instagram on my iPad. Like it was like, it was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And people just started picking up. They were just like, wow, Ty, like my hair's similar to yours. Like, did you use this? And like, what's worth spending money? And like, I was a broke, fresh out of college. Yeah. Like I was literally going to Target, saving my receipts and returning whatever didn't work.
Oh, wow.
And I was telling people,
they
like,
allow that?
Yeah, CVS, everything. Oh, just wow. In case, like, y'all don't know, you better bring back what you don't
do a
use.
A few dabs, like, yes. Nah.
Yeah, no, literally. And it's like, these products are like $20
yeah,
each.
Yeah, yeah.
I had no money.
Yeah.
And I was like working my little job and I was like, okay, how can I do this like sustainably and like also help people? So I was just like, okay, this didn't work for me. Y'all, maybe I need like a lighter product, like little things like that, and just sharing that. And then like these natural hair pages like started to pick up on like my consistency, and then they started reposting me.
Okay.
Then I would tag brands, and then brands would send me products, and I was just like, what? I don't have to spend $20 on a conditioner. I'm gonna post 100 times.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. And then my following started to grow, and a lot of people don't know this, but like I didn't make money until I hit about like 75,000 followers.
Wow.
And this wasn't like money that we're getting now. This was like $25. This was like $50, $75, barely $100.
Wow.
So I was like, and then I had left BET and I was working for like a beauty company. Okay. Well, I was a teacher first. I worked like a after school program, like art specialist teacher.
What age group?
K-4.
Okay.
And that was my favorite job ever because I love kids, but it paid nothing. And I was like, we gotta figure something out. So then I worked in I was a beauty like discovery consultant for a company. And I love that because it was kind of when I was starting the influencing. So everything I learned from that, I was just using on Instagram. I was like, oh, I tried this product out. This is how it works, et cetera, et cetera.
Wow.
So around like 100K, I was like, wow, people really do this as a job. I got reached out to for like a talent agency. They wanted to manage me. I was like, okay, this is legit. I'm like, I don't want to work at my job anymore. I get like really debilitating migraines. So I was working from home. So that wasn't working out. So it was like a big shift in like, what am I doing with my life? I'm very unhappy, but like, I need to pay student loans. I'm living with my parents. Like, it was just a lot of different things going on. And I was just like, I need to figure out how I can make this a legit job. And then I was doing some like freelance social media work and I hated it. I had a terrible like racist experience. And wow. I was like, corporate is not for me. I'm going to do whatever I possibly can to work for myself. So that was like not eating out, not hanging out with friends, not doing anything. It was posting my damn hair, posting my beauty routine, posting 3 times a day, which sounds insane. But that's what I did. All of my best friends like would literally take my photos for me. I would go to their house with a suitcase and it would be like, I'm doing this full time. Wow. I am quitting my job and I'm going to work for myself. And that's what I did. In 2018, I quit and I had my like first little $1,000 check. I showed it to my parents and they were like, you got loans and you can't live here forever. So hopefully you get more of those. Cause like I said, my parents are very traditional.
Yeah,
they were like, you didn't go to college for this.
Yeah.
So whatever you're trying to do, you better make it work and you better make it work fast. Wow. And that's literally what I did.
Wow.
And I was just like, consistency, quality. That's all I'm doing. Literally like eat, sleep, breathe this job because I'm going to make it work. And I did, which is incredible to kind of look back out now because it's been so many years.
A few things you mentioned there. agency. How is it trying to determine that agency was a way to go, at least at the time? Or did you then, since you got approached by one, look at different ones? And is that something that's still a thing that people should be involved with today?
This is a very scary topic, and I could talk about it for hours. Okay. Because, number one, the influencer space, we have no encyclopedia. We have no real hard facts. There's now people are starting to understand it's a science because they've made it a science.
Yes.
But before, nobody knew anything. There was no $1 billion, you know, like revenue coming in from influencers. Yep. Yep. So back then it was just like, you do this for fun, you do it because you're passionate, and you do it because like you just love sharing your knowledge with people. And that's what I did it for. Mm-hmm. And then I started seeing that like things were starting to take off. There was more talent agencies. People were taking the influencers way more serious. Like they were seeing the numbers that these people were pulling in from like the like return of like lotions and hair products. And they were like, okay, these people are legit. And this is what I was like, I need help. Like I can't be creative and also send out invoices.
Exactly.
I can't, because I'm nonstop creating. I'm not checking my emails. I'm not negotiating because I barely know my worth. I just know I want to do this and I want to do it well. And if people respect me for it, like that makes it even better.
Yeah.
So when I got approached by the agency, I was like, oh, this is it. This is it. Like, this is where I'm going to do my best work and my life and my career is going to change. And it did.
Wow.
Absolutely changed. I didn't know much. I didn't know a lot of influencers that were actually signed. So I spoke to the ones that I did, and they were like, you know, if everything lines up, you do your research on these people, like you talk to other creators signed, you should do it. So, you know, me and my dad, we sat down with the contract, read it over, had a lawyer read it over. Like, this is now like I'm giving my child to someone else, because these agencies, like, they're in control of your money. They're taking 20%, and that's just the transparent facts of it. There's an industry standard. It's just so many pieces to signing with an agency that like is so different now than it was back then.
Okay.
I will say I was very eager, and I probably should have done a little bit more research, even though I thought I did enough. But it's just like, it's a cruel world. And like, if you know you're a creative, it is like dog eat dog, and you have to look out for yourself. And I think with these agencies, they're not or what they're cracked up to be. And they're also not out there for your best interests. And I think if I knew that back then, I probably would have done things differently. But I'm also so happy that I did experience that, because I love to share the knowledge that I've learned. And I would never want to see another creator go through the things that I went through. Wow. So I'm like, you know what? I'm happy I went through this, because now I can tell this story and help someone else not have to go through it. But agency in general, in the influencer space, is it's really crazy. And it's gotten crazier, because there's literally an agency left, right, everywhere you look, there's an agency.
Yeah.
So it's like very hard.
Everyone's legit at the end of the day.
Oh, yeah.
Are you still with a new agency now? Did you switch it up after?
I'm with an independent manager right now.
Got it.
Yeah, so she's not with an agency.
Okay.
Yes.
And at this level, you feel like it's a better fit?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because agency is more their rules, not yours.
What would you say I'm going to say top three red flags that people should look out for if they're approached by agency or trying to go that route?
Number one, if your agency is driven only by money and the numbers you're bringing in, it's a complete red flag, unless that's your style.
Okay.
If you are money driven and money focused, there's nothing wrong with that. Go ahead, because then like you're both going to be doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Every job's for you. Anything goes. That's not how I operate.
Yeah.
Like, I'm very specific about who I work with, why I work with them. And like, if I'm not comfortable doing something, you could put $1 million on the table and I will turn around and say no.
Yeah.
And that's just who I am.
Yeah.
Not everybody's like that.
Yeah.
So I think that's really important. Also, just like professionalism. I think that like you can tell by the approach of an email first interaction with someone if they're for you. And like first impression and the approach for me is everything. So it's like, if you approach me on some like, I want to work with you, I want to rep you, I love your content, like let's meet. Like,
what's the substance?
Who are you?
Yeah.
Who are you? Because like, I get a million of those emails and yours is just going to get deleted.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's just the truth.
Yeah.
Like I have a corporate background. So it's like, if you can't write an email to me and address me properly, it's slow. It's not happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then third, probably the people that they already represent.
Okay.
Because if those things matter to you, I'm a woman of color, and inclusivity and like understanding who I am as a creator is number one. And that's, I'm Black and I'm also Hispanic. So it's like, if you never work with creators that are Black and Hispanic, chances are you're going to be unsure of how to even deal with me.
Yeah.
And that's going to be unfortunate because, like, I'm a lot. And that's just the fact, especially when it comes to my
job. Bringing the energy.
Yeah. So it's like, and you know it is, like, as soon as you start talking to me.
Yeah.
Like, people can tell who I am, like, I give it off, it's hard to hide. So those are really important to me. Everybody else's is different because this industry is very different from when I started.
Do you think it's as lucrative now? Because I think that's a lot of questions that, you know, people think, like, is it too late? Does it still make sense? The algorithms, this, that, and the third.
It's never too late to do anything.
Okay.
That's how I look at life in general. Yeah. I think if you're passionate and you have something to say, that's going to take you so much further than you think. Mm-hmm. And I think people just get caught up with, like, kind of like the sparkly glitz and glamour of, like, being a digital creator or being a creative in general, that they forget that, like, why they're actually doing it.
True.
And it's like, I think that, like, my passion alone has got me the success that I've received. And I think that, like, if everyone was like that, it would be a different world. But I definitely think anyone can be a creator. Anyone can get on the internet. It's just how intentional and passionate you are. And then that'll take you in the direction or the path that you're supposed to be on.
Is your passion the same now as when you first started? Or do you have moments and times where you gotta just break?
Yeah, yesterday. I love what I do.
Okay.
And it has definitely changed. I came into this thinking that I was literally just going to learn how to do my hair.
Yeah.
And then find other women that need help doing their hair.
Yeah.
And now, once I made that, like, pivot to sharing more of me just being a floating head on the internet is when I truly fell in love with what I was doing, you know? Because that's what
hilarious,
it was.
A floating head.
Lou, I literally was just a head with curly hair and nobody knew anything else about me.
Then people realize you could dress too,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, but that was hard too. Yeah. That, like, pivot, like, people were like, I'm not following anymore. I don't want to see your outfits.
Are you serious?
I lost like 5,000 followers when I started to change my platform.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm. And oh my God, so many hate DMs. Yes, like men and women. Like, this is not why we're following you. I'm like, okay, bye.
So men were following you like, yo, I don't know how to do my hair anymore. What are you doing?
No, like, they literally, it was just weird. I'll never forget this DM. This man was like, who told you we wanted to see what you were wearing? I was like, oh my God, I have to block the first person I have to block.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. A man, a grown man. I was like,
too much time on his hands.
I was just like, oh, this is so unfortunate because I know this is coming from some insecurity that you have and I feel bad for you. But yeah, that's how people are on the internet.
That's wild.
Mm-hmm.
No, people feel bold, like they're hiding behind their phone and
yep.
I can just speak to whoever I want to speak to, however
yes.
I want to speak to them. And
yes.
That's ridiculous.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that was interesting.
I'm going to start asking people about the first person they had to block because that's a...
I'm scared to know because wow. I was just like, this is crazy. I've never gotten any negative feedback.
So, I mean, how did that impact you, even just your psyche? Because, you know, people get negative feedback and negative DMs at this mm-hmm. point, hateful at a certain point, right?
Mm-hmm.
How did that ever impact you mentally?
Honestly, I have two brothers and I come from a very, like, tough home.
Nice.
Like, there's not a lot of things that can break me.
Yeah.
But not everybody's
you have
like
thick
that.
Skin.
Yeah, I have extreme, it's... crazy.
That's that
how
LES.
Thick.
That's
it's
that.
Just, yeah, it's yeah. just like, there's very few things that you're going to say to me that I haven't gotten into an argument with my brother that we haven't said to each other.
That's dope.
I'm like, I feel bad though because not everybody's like yeah. me and I see yeah. that. But I'm also like very cautious of how I present myself on the internet. And
okay.
I think I tell this to people all the time, you want to overshare? You want to say things that like maybe misconstrued? Be prepared for people to have that access to you and say things you're not going to like.
Yeah.
I don't put myself in that position.
Yeah.
Y'all are not going to know about my life. You're not going to have access to everything, so you can't comment on everything. You could tell me you don't like my outfit. That's fine. But, like, you'll never be able to say, like, who my friends are, say go find them on the internet. You're not going to be able to have that access to me. And I think that's also why I haven't really experienced a lot of negativity, because I don't allow that.
Do you end up getting negativity from people around you because of that? And the reason I ask is that I'm kind of private with what I do online, too. So I'm not everything I do is online.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, some people might question that. Like, you
Absolutely.
Know, so how does that work out for you?
I don't care. Honestly, at the end of the day, if like you do not bring any type of positivity in my life, just unfollow me. You don't have to talk to me because I really don't care about anybody else's opinions about
yeah.
me. It's like, like, how could I be in this industry, be from New York? Like, how could I have, if I cared about what other people think?
True.
Because there's one thing, like, about, like, being in a New Yorker is, like, we are true to who we are. And honestly, like, if you have a problem with it, that's your problem, not mine.
True.
So I look at that like my job, you know? And like I said, I have very tough skin. So it's like, people are always going to say something. If it's positive, it's negative, it doesn't matter. But it's like, am I going to let all that hold me back because I'm not giving you my every bit of my life?
Yeah.
No, this is my platform. Yeah. This is my life. And like, if I let you in, then I will let you in. But whatever you have to say, if it's not positive, then it's just honestly just, I don't even think about it.
Now, when it comes to the clothing brands, right, you started working with some of these big names like H&M. I saw Nike. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, yo, that's kind of lit. I'm a sneak ahead too. So, what was it like once you started getting those interactions? Because that's a little bit different than the beauty interactions.
Honestly, it was like, I'm still shocked by it. Okay. As long as I've been doing it, for a brand that you spend your hard-earned money on for years, like, just to, like, see them even thinking about, like, using you or representing their brand, I think is the most incredible thing that can ever happen in my life.
Yeah.
Because it's honestly, every day that I do this job, I'm surprised.
Wow.
Because it's like, it's an honor to be able to do these things that I do. Like, I'm so grateful to work in the space and be able to represent a pair of Nikes. Like,
facts.
I did a collab with, like, Nike and the new LeBrons that came out. And I was like, the fact that, like, Nike, someone on that side is even looking at my page, crazy.
Yeah.
I know it's a small world.
Yeah.
And I know that, like I have all these followers, but it's still such a surprise because it's like someone is really appreciating, like, you for being you with no money behind it. And I think that's incredible. And it still surprises me every day because it's like, I buy these sneakers with my own money. I'm like getting everything for free.
Yeah.
So it's like for someone to be like, wow, like she really went outside, put this on and styled it her own way. And like, we want her to represent the brand, I think is incredible.
How do you feel about the word aesthetic? Like, what does that mean to you? And do you try to match a certain aesthetic?
I definitely think it plays a huge role in being a creative because I think we're all trying to build our own aesthetic.
Got it.
So I think that that's very important to me. You know, like I'm very like strict about like how I dress. Like I like my the way I look like being like I like to be very put together. You know, it's like it also is the Virgo in me. But
shout out to the Virgos. I'm a Virgo too.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. This is great. This is great. I think like as a creative, that's what you strive for, your own aesthetic, to be like your own person. And I think aesthetic and individuality like are hand in hand, and individuality for me is very important. So yes, like my aesthetic is like very important.
What would you, do you classify it as anything? Do you label it anyway?
I don't, because I really don't like being labeled. I don't like being put in a box, and I don't like being called, you know, like dressing preppy or like being a sneakerhead. Like, I don't like words like that because I feel like I'm not just one thing. I am like many different things. Like you'll catch me in a blazer and some heels and you'll also catch me in some fours, you know, and that's just who I am. And I think when like people put you in a box as a creative, like that limits you. And that means that like, what, I can't work with a dress company because I wear Jordans. Like you're not going to tell me that I'm going to get my bag any way that I can.
Yes.
So I think that that's why I'm not a big fan of like the labeling because I'm like, I can do anything I want. I can shock you and wear a dress and I can shock you and wear, you know, like something that you've never seen me in. But like, if I love it, I'm going to wear it confidently and I'm going to do it right.
You have any favorite brands right now or brands not big for you?
I'm a big thrifter.
Okay.
I'm like really into thrifting and finding pieces that a lot of people aren't going to have.
Yeah.
I think that's really important to me because like, you know, with fast fashion, like a lot of things are like, you know, on everyone. Everyone can have that jacket from H&M. And it's like, I love H&M. But I also am like, I don't always want the same jacket that everybody else has.
True.
I want to do my own thing. And I want to show people that it's like, you don't have to have what everybody else has to be fashionable or to like be comfortable. Like whatever you're comfortable in, no matter how much it costs, it's fly. And I think that's a really big deal for me with my aesthetic, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like I like things, I love trends, but I also love to kind of like do it my own way.
So, I mean, typically now when you're working with a brand, is it most of the time they're reaching out to you or does your management even reach out at this point to different brands to try to collab? And
I want to say it's 70-30. So 70, the brand is reaching out and 30, like we're doing like some pitching.
Nice.
Yeah.
Dream brand to work with right now?
I always get this question and this is probably going to surprise you, but honestly, it's Uber.
Okay.
Because
let's talk about this vision. You got a vision there.
So I don't have my license. Everybody, if you follow me on the internet, then you know it and you flamed me for it. Uh-huh. I don't have my license, so I live in an Uber, and like that's just what it is. And I think that working with brands that you naturally use on a regular basis is the best story to tell. So you know what? This is me manifesting it. Yeah. 2023 Uber partnership.
There you go. Yeah. And they're going to give you the free Uber for a year.
Well,
something
hope,
like that.
I, hope something I will post every day, whatever you want, because that is my life. I spend a lot of time in an Uber.
When you were to get this license, though?
You're not doing this question. I will. Just when it's right, when the time is right.
When the time is right.
That's all I have to say about that.
So you don't even like cars? You don't?
No, I don't care about them.
Okay.
I don't care about them. I'm like, as long as he gets me, it's safe and he gets me from A to B.
You're there.
Yeah. So, yep.
Now, you came in here limping today.
I did.
So I'm going to talk about that. What's going on with your foot?
So I've actually haven't told anybody, like my community, nobody knows because it's just something that like I said, the access. So the access for like my page. So it's like, I have a lot of things going on. I feel like I have to like sit down and really like, first of all, accept the fact that I have a torn ACL. Mm-hmm. That's number one. I have not done that yet. Number two, I hate the way it happened.
Yeah.
Skiing.
You weren't playing ball.
No, I wasn't.
Because we don't like sports.
I wasn't. It's not that I don't like sports.
Okay.
I don't play them.
Exactly.
So it was just like, if you know me and you know me well, this ACL injury does not add up. So it's like the accepting of it and how much my life is going to change hasn't really sat well with me. But it's going to be okay. And I'm going to heal and I'm going to have to just pivot and change things around and we're going to make do with it because I got no other way but to think positive about it.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what the limp is about.
Consistency wise, how do you go about just now even making these posts? Like do you have a strategy right now every time you set up reels, et cetera?
In general or moving forward with the ACL injury?
I shifted away from the ACL.
Okay, because it's two different things.
No walking reels right now.
Yeah, no. But when it comes to content creation, like I kind of am a monster because like I never want to be that person who has no content at all.
Okay.
That's like my biggest fear is like not being able to perform and not being able to it's not that my followers count on me, but like they're looking for inspiration. You know, they follow me for a reason.
Yeah.
And I would never want to be. And some people might think this is crazy and nuts, you know, like, but I love my job and I love my career and I love, you know, giving people the confidence to wear something that they haven't. So for me, it's like I'm going to produce and I'm going to like put out the content for y'all and I'm going to have enough so that like I feel comfortable,
yeah.
You know, so like. Like I'm bat shooting. I'm going out at least twice a week and I'm shooting like several different outfits and they'll connect to like what my audience has been loving lately, what's coming up. It's very festival season heavy. I'm not going to any festivals because of this injury, but
yeah.
I know people are and I know that I've been there before and I know that like I want people to feel like they don't have to follow all the trends just to be like included. Like I'll tell people like, I'm not sure if you're familiar with this new platform called Lemonade. It's like made from, So Lemonade is basically created by like the TikTok creators and like it's another platform for social media influencers or anyone in general.
Okay.
And like I literally just did a post today telling people, you know, like the three things to remember when you're thinking about festival fashion is like obviously wear comfortable shoes. Number two, you don't have to go buy new clothes. Go shop your closet and go create from what you have. It's sustainable and it's like it's easier.
Okay,
and
yeah.
I think don't feel pressured to dress like everybody else and follow all these trends and go spend a bunch of money. And I think that like people have to kind of be reminded about that because I'm crazy too. You know, when I went to Coachella last year, I wanted to spend so much money and I was like, you know what? I'm going to look in my closet and I'm going to save some money and I'm still going to look good. And like just reminding people of that, which I kind of like deviated from the actual question, but yeah. So like I'm kind of crazy when it comes to content creation, like creating. Yeah. It's like really, really important to me, like being able to deliver and like be consistent. Like just being consistent is just really important to me.
Do you schedule your post?
I don't schedule them, but I post every day.
Okay.
Yeah, I post every day.
How many posts a day? Like, is there, because I mean, everyone's trying to figure this out.
I don't think there's any right way. I really don't think. I think whatever you're comfortable with, and like, you know, we can get all down to the nitty gritty of like, you know, do the market research. Like, take a whole month and like, post at a certain time, see how it how people react to it. See, check your analytics. Like, if you want to be real, like down to the science of it, take the time and like do something for a long period of time and see how they react to it. If that doesn't work, move on to something else. And then gather up all of your analytics from the month and see what performed the best and see what performed the least and say like, okay, moving forward for the next 2 months, I'm going to post at this time and I'm going to post this type of content and see how people react to it, you know, and that'll be your own way of figuring out what works for you. But like, there's also 1,000 articles about when to post, when not to post, how to post. Yes. And it's just like, if you get so caught up with that, do you even like what you're doing?
Yeah,
because I know that I fall sometimes into the trap and then I'm just like, okay, I hate my job. I'm not having fun anymore because I'm so worried about how everybody else is going to perceive it. And I'm just like, that's not why I do this. Ty, relax. Don't post for a couple days. Reset and go back to what you think is best.
How much do you spend on clothing every year?
Oh my God, I don't even know. But you'd be surprised. I think if you follow me, maybe not, like a majority of my clothes are from the thrift store.
Yes.
Yeah. My sneakers are probably the most expensive thing.
Really?
Mm-hmm. My sneakers is because like I'm coming out of pocket that.
These people
are not just sending me stuff. Like as much as people think, like I'm paying for my sneakers. If I want a pair of sneakers, like I'm on the sneakers app just like y'all.
Yeah.
And I'm praying and hoping that I get them.
It goes through.
And if I don't, you know, like I feel just as sad as y'all.
Man,
you know?
I got a boy up in Portland. He's like right on the tippy top of finance over at Nike, and he be capping. I think he's on sneakers app too, just on Saturdays. I don't know.
But I think so too. Yeah. I think everybody has to go through it. You know, like it's just what happens when you like being a part of it.
One thing I like that you do though is that you set up these shops where you actually will sell your clothing and things from your closet. Mm-hmm. What is that process like for you, and how is it lucrative, especially in this space where you buy so much?
So I've always done it on Depop. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with that platform, but it's basically like you sell your clothes on it. And
it's kind of like a Poshmark too.
Basically the same thing. Yeah. So I started there because I just had too much.
Okay.
And then I recently did my second closet sale, but my first in-person closet sale. So the first one I had was on Instagram stories. It was so successful, but it was so painful because I hate shipping, labeling, all that nonsense. So I was like, I'm doing this in person. Did it in person, and it was probably one of the most amazing days ever.
Wow.
Because I just, you know, you as much as you have a following and like you think people will show up, it rained. It's also New York. It's not summer yet. So it's like, I don't know what was going to happen. I was going to bring all these clothes and just pray for the best.
Yeah.
Price them at a reasonable prices, and people were literally waiting outside the door in the rain to come in for 12 o'clock. And I was just like, I was shooketh. Like the whole day was like unbelievable because like I couldn't even believe like how many people actually showed up in the rain.
Did you sell out completely or?
I did not. Okay. I sold like 75%. So I brought like, I don't know, like almost 30 bags of clothes and shoes and I came home with like 3 of them.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I wish I could do that.
Yeah, you could.
I could. I don't know if people show up, though.
You never know. You'd be surprised. Wow. You really would be surprised.
So, I mean, kind of, what are you doing other verticals right now in order to, I guess, kind of build your brand up more? And what are you trying to get into next?
I'm not a huge fan of this question only because it stresses me out.
Yeah.
But I love taking pictures and I love doing what I do. But again, all good things must come to an end. Not that it'll come to an end, but you do have to think of the next step. You know, especially as I get older and different things that I want to do. I'm working on, I don't want to give too much, but I'm working on like a service-based company that I'm really, really passionate about. I love like consulting and I love mentorships and I love just helping in general in any way that I can. And I think that I really need to like sit down and kind of like market myself in that way. It's just a little hard because you do have to be vulnerable and you do have to be a different type of creative when you step into that space of like service.
Yeah.
So it's a lot more intimate than Instagram. So that's kind of like my next like big thing that I'm working on. And everything else, I'm zipped up. I can't really say anything
else. No, it's still some
but
insight.
Yes.
In regards to social media, I mean, what do you think is the future right now? You just mentioned a new platform. I mean, I heard about something called Be Real.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you try to stay ahead of that whenever something comes out? Like, did you run to TikTok as soon as it came out?
No.
Okay.
Honestly, anything that's extremely like trending, I'm like, it kind of just gives me a headache because it's like, you can't do it all. Mm-mm. You can't do it all. And like the amount that they want to stretch us so far, and I'm just really not about it. I will try everything, but will I do it all? No, I'm going to like what I've learned is like whatever I have the bandwidth for is what I'm going to do. And I'm going to do that to like 110%. But other things will fall through the cracks. And that's just how it has to be. It took me a while to get on TikTok because I was just like, I'm exhausted. Yeah. Like, I can't do YouTube, Pinterest, Instagram, and then being consistent and then delivering. Yeah. It's like something's going to get like, you know, short. It's going to shorthand something. And like, I don't want to be that person. So it's like slowly but surely, like I'll kind of tap into everything. But like, Instagram, I'll always be consistent on, that's like my number one.
Do you try to, I guess, give different delivery for each platform?
Yes. I feel like Instagram is a little more curated just because it's been like my home for so long. TikTok, I definitely kind of, I don't get crazy on there, but like, I'm definitely a little bit more open to posting things that I wouldn't usually post on Instagram. A little bit more of my personality on TikTok, which I think everyone kind of says. It's like less stress. It's not always about the likes. It's more about like finding people who just like what you're posting. And I think that's really cool about it. And then like on YouTube, I feel like when I was being consistent, I was like a little bit more vulnerable, you know, talking about therapy and like doing Q&As. And like, I don't really do that on Instagram because it's kind of like very like tight, like everything is like very square on Instagram. Well, at least for me.
Yeah.
So I think that every platform kind of like deserves a little bit of a different part of you. For me, at least.
Of course.
Yeah.
What do you do to relax and kind of just have fun?
Binge TV. Literally.
What are you watching right now?
Oh my God, I just am in the middle of Love is Blind.
Okay.
It's amazing. I love corny TV.
Okay.
I love a dating show. I love the love shows. I think they're hilarious. It's trash television, but honestly, it's great.
You watched Married at First Sight?
I didn't watch it. Okay. I've heard about it.
I kind of like that one.
Yeah, I feel like it's a little bit ridiculous.
It is. It's
so that's why I haven't gotten into that. And like 90 Day Fiance, I think it's just like, it's like, I love ridiculous, but the ridiculous of the ridiculous, I'm like, I gotta have a, like, I won't do Love and Hip Hop.
Okay.
I won't do 90 Day Fiance, and I probably won't do Married at First Sight. I watched Ready to Love too.
Ready, you ever heard of Ready to Love? It comes on like Fridays or something. I don't even know what channel it is. It's on my DVR.
No, I don't know. I don't know.
And my wife
and
I watch it. Like,
I'm gonna Google it.
I'm definitely gonna Google it. It's like, I don't know. It's another dating show.
Yeah.
I
love them.
So that's your relax time.
And eating with my best friends that are like not on the internet because like I love that. I love anything that I can completely clock out of. I love.
Shout out to one of the besties in the building.
Yes.
She's like, don't at me. But no, it's funny. My best friend I grew up with, he doesn't have any social media. He's never had any social
media.
As
a great friend.
Yeah. His opinion has always been that, you know, people go on only to find like-minded stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And he doesn't think that way. He wants to have interaction and debate. That's just
interesting.
Him. Yeah.
But those are like the real interesting people though.
Yeah.
Because it's like they really have no idea what's going on.
It's true.
They really have no idea, but they're still going. And I just think about them and I'm like, wait, you've never seen this meme. Let me send it to you.
They're like, what's
and
this?
They have the best laugh of their life. But I'm like, you want more of that? Like, just get on Instagram. Come on. I'm like,
No,
I'm good. Once in a while. But I think like they're experiencing life differently, and I think that's really cool because, like, you can really learn from, like, them not being dependent on their phones, and I am very dependent on my phone, and that's just the sad truth of the day and age that we live in.
True.
But it's, like, to have somebody that isn't, I think, is really cool.
Who do you look to for, I guess, a few different things for advice in this right now, but then who do you look to kind of get inspiration from? So two different ones.
In this industry, I know this might sound crazy, but no one.
Okay.
I look to myself and my friends that are in the space as well. Yep. I think that like I have very few of them, but we love each other to death, and like those are the people that I go to if I'm going through it because they understand.
Yep.
And then overall, like for inspiration, like I love Shay Mitchell. I think as a businesswoman, I think she's incredible while also being her authentic self. And I think like a lot of people probably wouldn't think that I would say that, but I think that like she has this from what we perceive. She has like an amazing company. She's a successful actress. She has her family and her children, and she kind of gives you that look into her life without giving you too much of a look into her life. And I think that that's amazing, especially being in Hollywood. Like, it's very hard to like write your own story.
Yes.
And I think she does a great job at that. And I'm like, if I was to ever be like on her level, I would want to do it very similar. Like, I would want to, you know, be myself, show what I want, have a successful company, be a successful, like in all the areas of my life, like that's what I want. While also, like, she looks like she really enjoys what she does, and I think that's like really important and hard.
I mean, you've spent this time building up your brand and everything. Are you looking to start that chapter of like extending your own family now?
I think about it, but it's not my first priority. Yeah. I'm kind of in the space of like, if it happens, it happens. And if it does, it does. But I'm also like, I have so much more to do.
Yeah.
You know, I have so many things that I want to accomplish before I, you know, like take that leap of like marriage or like kids. Because once that happens, like my whole life is going to shift. Just because of like how passionate I am. Like, it's going to be very hard to kind of like balance and split myself. So it's like, I want to be completely ready and do a lot of the things that I want to get done on my to-do list and then approach that part of my life.
Favorite Virgo?
My favorite Virgo?
Yeah.
Me.
After Utah.
Probably all my friends that are Virgos. Okay. Because we just have like a different type of like connection.
Okay.
I think that like we all understand each other work wise. We all understand each other, like the extremeness of how everything has to be. What Virgo are you, in August or September?
I'm an August Virgo.
Y'all are different. Y'all are different. No, but like we're a special sign.
You said September what?
16th.
Okay, cool, yeah. Cool.
We are a special sign.
Different.
Yes.
Be different.
And like, I know not everybody's into it, but you can find things that relate to like your astrological sign and like who you attract and who you want to be around. And I love me some earth signs. And a lot of my close friends are earth signs. So it plays a role in my life.
The truth is, I mean, August Virgos, we do get some Leo traits because of it.
Absolutely.
That's why we're a little different because of that.
I can't disagree.
But for me, definitely Kobe and Beyonce, they up there for me.
Kobe's a special person. Beyonce, she's cool.
Yeah.
She's cool.
Yeah. Who's your favorite singer?
You mentioned
like, but R&B singer.
Singer, wow. I love Frank Ocean.
Okay.
Singer. I'm trying to think.
Because, I mean, you already threw out Rihanna and Beyonce in this conversation, so
you
people
going to
want
to... I responded. Singer, this is so hard. I feel like I should always have these answers, like, ready, but, like, who else am I listening to right now? I'm really into, like, house... right now. Like, okay. That's what I'm like. I go through these phases. Okay. So it's like, I go through these phases where like I only listen to R&B and then I only listen to house music and then I only listen to rap. Like, so right now I'm in like a heavy, like Caribbean, like house music, like phase, and it's all I'm playing.
Got it. So you was appreciating when Drake did the switch up on everybody. You was loving
First of all,
it.
He can do no wrong. I don't care what anybody says. He's talented and we need to just let him rock. I love that album. I think it was phenomenal. And we need to see different versions of him.
Yeah.
We need to see different versions of all of our favorite artists.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's what makes them creative.
True.
If they make the same music over and over and over again, we're not going to give them the same love. So, yes, let Drake make some house music and let him, you know, be creative. And we should just support him. But, you know, everybody's a music critic nowadays.
Exactly.
So we can't let that fly.
I mean, you can't be someone who grew up in Staten Island and not sit here and tell us your favorite member of Wu-Tang. So.
Not to disappoint everybody, because probably can't even name people. But yeah, that's just a sad truth. I'm sorry, y'all.
Got it.
I'm not a real Staten Islander.
Got it.
That's just sad truth.
But nah, that's what's up though. Mm-hmm. You know who you are.
Absolutely.
That's
and I'm going to stand by it. I'm going to stand by it.
Where can everybody find you?
Instagram at Tyler Wren, TikTok at Tyler Wren with an extra N, YouTube Tyler Wren Gilmore, and on Lemonade, Tyler Wren.
I gotta get on this Lemonade.
It's honestly like really easy. It's very Pinterest if you have Pinterest.
Okay.
If you're familiar with
it. Yeah, yeah.
Very photo focused. And that's really about it. Like, you can put some videos on there, but it's very focused, very like inspiration focused. So if you're looking for quick inspiration, you'd go on there instead of Pinterest if it gets to that point.
Okay.
I think now it's very beginning stages. So like they're just building it. But you know, you gotta get your handle on everything,
yep.
Even if you're not gonna use it.
Exactly.
It's crazy. So that's what I did.
Exactly.
Who knows what it'll be? But we'll see what happens.
But Ty, we appreciate you. We appreciate the conversation. Everyone out there, make sure you all listen and rate it, subscribe, go on her page, follow her. It's Blue Dope.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode of Blue Dope and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. To catch all the latest, you can follow the crew on Instagram @BlueDopeTV.